Our rural news. Kia ora, Maya, and the market for selling farms is picking up.
Kia ora, Mani. That's right. Across all types of farms, 9% more were sold in the year to November than in the preceding year. Meanwhile, values have lifted too. The median price per hectare for all farms sold in the 3 months to November was almost $28,000. That's 10% up on the same period in 2019. Brian Peacock of the Real Estate Institute says more farms are marketed in spring when the grass is green and they're looking good, but he says there is more to it than that.
Apart from the fact that spring's always a good time to sell a farm, there has been a little bit of a thawing out, it would appear, from the trading banks. They are starting to back some of the purchases, whereas 6 months, 12 months ago, they weren't. The second thing is that there's an improving degree of confidence, particularly in the dairy sector, because we've had improving global dairy trade auction results. We're having a little bit of an issue at the moment on the beef and lamb sector. So there's a number of things that are going very well. The horticultural scene, of course, is very strong for kiwifruit and avocados in particular. So across the board, we're getting a pretty good degree of traction in the rural sector.
That's Brian Peacock from the Real Estate Institute, and he says most of rural New Zealand has experienced a good spring. A Southland farming leader hopes the government will accept new advice to make winter grazing rules more practical. Intensive winter grazing happens when stock are strip-fed a crop, but when done poorly, the practice can create animal welfare and environmental issues, such as elevated nitrate leaching and sediment runoff. This has prompted the government to introduce new regulations which are aimed at better protecting waterways, and these will come into force in May next year. A specially established Southland advisory group, though, has come up with alternatives to overcome what were seen as impracticalities of the government scheme. Bernadette Hunt of Southland Federated Farmers is in that group and says the proposed changes are positive.
We believe freshwater health outcomes will be improved by the recommendations we've made because they are very outcomes focused and backed by science. The key elements are an intensive winter grazing module, so where farmers can't meet the required conditions, they can show alternative risk mitigation that will help them ensure that their winter grazing doesn't pose a risk to freshwater health.
And Bernadette Hunt says these modules are still being worked out. They could be an app or a paper-based system, but would offer farmers security while they wait for farm environment plans, which are still a long way off. She says the modules would also avoid the need for costly resource consent applications. Another proposal would avert the widely derided pugging rules, which could have required farmers to measure how deep hoof prints are.
There was a lot of contention about rules around pugging and also rules around replanting crops by a certain date. We agree with those concerns and we've recommended that those conditions be removed and replaced by a much more effects-focused condition around the protection of critical source areas.
And how would that work?
Critical source areas are the low points in paddocks, like gullies and swales, where water runs through after a rain event. And they're known to be a high-risk way for sediment and other contaminants to be transported to waterways. It's a widely accepted good management practice now to protect those, so to not cultivate them and not graze them during the winter period. We've suggested that that becomes a condition that farmers have to meet or show alternative ways of mitigating that sediment loss. That will directly lead to less sediment being transported to waterways.
Bernadette Hunt speaking to Eric Frickberg there, and the proposed changes have been sent to the Ministers of Agriculture and the Environment. A Taranaki dairy farmer has been fined $40,000 and put under 2 years intensive supervision for breaking the tails of 136 cows and docking the tails of 26 others. Lane Rodney Wiggins, who's 53, had earlier pleaded guilty to two charges under the Animal Welfare Act and was sentenced in the Hawera District Court this week. The Ministry for Primary Industries Animal Welfare Regional Manager, Joanna Tuckwell, says most of the fine related to the breaking of cows' tails, which she says is absolutely unacceptable.
This is a case of deliberate ill-treatment of animals, so we regard that as the most serious kind of offending.
And what message do you hope to send by bringing this prosecution?
We hope to send the message that people are responsible for the well-being of their animals. Most farmers take that role seriously, carry it out appropriately. But where we see evidence of people failing to meet that need, MPI will take action, and in cases like this, we will bring the proceedings for the court to consider.
Joanna Tuckwell says the farmers' actions would have caused the cows a lot of pain. To other news now, and mutton is making strides in the export markets. AgriHQ senior analyst Mel Crode says while it's always been a staple for the Chinese market, there are other countries and in Europe and Asia where mutton demand is now running high.
Mutton's now no longer viewed as an inferior option to lamb, and that has seen export values for mutton carcasses and six-way cuts actually lift to be on par with lamb values. From a processor's perspective, mutton is also favourable purely because it requires less labour to process, and securing enough processing staff has been an ongoing issue, which has really been magnified by COVID-19 restrictions this year. But it has also pushed the farmgate mutton slaughter price higher relative to lamb values. Now, we've seen that mutton indicator sitting at about 60 to 90 cents a kilo above the five-year average over the last 8 weeks.
That's Mel Crode. And just lastly, the listed kiwi fruit company Seeka has announced a special dividend of 12 cents a share. It follows an earnings upgrade of between $15 and $17 million for the current year.